Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is Monday, October 7th, right? It's October 7th, isn't it? Yes, it is. It is 10-7-2019. Great to be with you today. Trust you had a great weekend. We had a stormy Sunday, but it turned out to be the storm for the glory of God at New Wine Ministries. We just had an incredible weekend of worship and praise, and we're refueled, refreshed, and ready to go, and we are 1 week away from the Great Feast of Tabernacles 2019, and we are excited about it, and we're glad that you are going to make Father's Feast a priority in your life, that you are not going to be disappointed, you're not going to set back, you're going to realize that you've already been born again, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but now that you've been adopted into the family of God, you're learning His ways. And out of Mount Zion shall flow the law of the Lord, or the instruction of the Lord, and the feast of the Lord have everything to do with our being brought into Father God's house. It's a part of His reality. He actually set the feast of the Lord in motion on the fourth day of creation before mankind was ever upon this earth. And ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, you and I have something to do with that. We need to understand the meaning and the value of the great feast of tabernacles. Yeshua is the King of glory, and He has made a way through His passion on the cross to bring you and I back to the Father in an act of reconciliation. And if Passover is about the Lamb of God, Jesus, and if Pentecost is about the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, then the tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, is about the Father. Therein is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're excited about that. We're excited about hosting the Feast of Tabernacles. And here's what we expect. When we gather together in the name of the Lord to celebrate His feast, to come together as tabernacles individually and allow the corporateness of the Father Spirit to inhabit us and the kabod, or the glory of God, to come in our midst, we expect an explosion of God's power. He has something for each and every one of His kids, and for each tabernacle, there's going to be an increase of the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing greater than the glory of God in the life of a believer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So let's continue to press in. We here in Northwest Arkansas are preparing for a feast in the midst of a world that is spinning out of control And the chaos and the confusion of the times that we are living in is very real. I have a prophetic word for you, and I want to read it to you this morning. I want to share this word. You be the judge of it, and I'll just bring it forth, and we'll let the Holy Spirit leave it with you to really peer in. So let me begin today. I hear the Lord saying, embrace the word of the Lord. Embrace it. All right, so let's see what the Spirit of the Lord would say through this prophetic word. My word shall never pass away, says the Holy One of Israel. Well, I agree with that immediately. All else shall perish. All things shall come under the fire of my judgment, says the Lord. Yes, all things. My fire has broken out in my church, and a glorious bride is about to appear. For she has made herself ready, says the Lord, and the passion in my eyes is becoming brighter and brighter. Yes, even fire is ablaze within the pupils of my eyes. The time for the execution of the judgment has come. I will judge and make war with religious Babylon first. I will set her altars on fire, and all her sacrifices will I spew out my wrath and indignation upon. I will destroy her walls with fire, and the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the house that was called by my name shall become a den of demonic spirits. The people within the walls shall die, and their rottenness shall be seen from afar. Worms shall consume the eyes and flesh of those who have died within the harlot. Beware, for her worms shall never die. I will lift the skirts of her prophets and expose their nakedness and shame. I will turn their tables of merchandise into powder. I will look upon the hypocrites, and they shall be consumed with the fire of my jealousy. I will throw down the musicians who have lulled the people into sleep. I will destroy their instruments of music, for they have stirred the soul and emotion of the people, but have not ministered to their spirits. Yes, the house of harlots is empty and devoid of spiritual truth. Their pews are filled with dead men's bones. Outwardly, they appear alive, but within they are dead. No, they would not have it any other way, for they have killed the prophets with their lips and have said at naught the truth of my word. They have dulled the voice of those who have sold their birthright of eternal life for the momentary pleasures of this life. All these things that they have amassed unto themselves shall be eaten by the canker, and the thief shall break through and steal. Surely you shall know that I have brought my judgment to light, O great mother of harlots. Yes, daughters of Babylon, you shall know that you have worshipped false gods and images. Your terror shall come in a moment as I reveal the truth of your ways. Then I will judge and make war with the world system of Babylon. I will send earthquakes and fire and storms upon the land, and will break up and throw down the high places. I will contend with the armies of the earth as I send forth my armies to destroy and consume. The pride of men and kings shall be no more, and the power of the arm of flesh will not be able to withstand my presence. I will repay double for what has been dealt out against my beloved. Yes, fire is in my eyes and a sword in my mouth. And with it I shall smite the nations, and all the beasts of the field will feed upon the flesh of those who hate me. I have heard the ungodly words and speeches of the mockers and those who have set at counsel all my counsel at naught. And I say to you that I will mock you in the hour of your calamity. I will destroy the roads you have built. I will destroy your commerce. I will destroy your marketplaces. I will rend you of all authority and power as I loose the spirit of death upon the decision makers of your day who have practiced witchcraft. Your soothsayers will profit you no more, and your guides and voices shall lead you astray. For I have sent a lying spirit into the voice of your prophets, O Babylon, and they shall cause you to fail. I will destroy the entertainment industry and bring it to nothing. You will only see the mourning and suffering of a destroyed and defiled people. When shall these things be? They are near. I will rip the cover off the hidden places in the earth from whence evil has had its grip. Anybody want to say Jeffrey Epstein? They are near. I will discover the secret places of men and devils, and they shall pale at my presence. Yes, your land, O earth, shall reel to and fro like a drunken man. You shall be tossed to and fro with a mighty tempest, for the winds of destruction and death are loosed upon you. An invasion of death is coming upon the land. The time of the great tribulation is near, and many things shall come to pass as the nations of the earth are swallowed up and consumed by gross darkness. Yet a glorious day shall appear for those who are prepared and ready. Listen, my church shall go through this time of distress and great tribulation, yet she shall go through with divine authority and divine favor. My grace shall be upon my elect as they walk through the midst of the fire. For they shall not be burned, says the Lord, the Holy One who is able to do great things on the behalf of those who love him. Your prophets have lied to you when they said to my people that they would escape the great tribulation. They have said that the people will be lifted off the earth and taken out of the planet. This is not the truth, beloved. For first, my coming shall be unto the ends of the earth. Then the resurrection shall come to pass. But know that before my descent to the earth, there shall be a time of tribulation like never before and will never be again. So I say to you, my beloved, be ready, for you are going through. Those who are prepared shall survive the day and will do exploits in my name. Yes, my glorious church will walk through the land and will be protected with supernatural protection. Yes, many martyrs will fill the earth, and their rewards will be great. The Gentiles have trodden down the outer courts, and they are about to be swept clean by the streams of fire that are coming to the earth. As my glorious church goes through this time, she shall bring revival everywhere she is. Yes, in the midst of great tribulation shall be waters of revival, renewal, and restoration for those who come to me through the witness of my church. Yes, the witness of my church shall be greater than ever before. Miracles, signs, and wonders shall be to those who have come to me with their whole heart. False miracles, signs, and wonders shall be to those who have forsaken me and have turned from my commandments. These are they whose hearts have waxed cold and have lost their love. They shall betray those who belong to me and will suffer the consequences as Judas did. Yet in the midst of this fiery furnace shall come forth a remnant. I have written these things in order to raise your spirits, that they may arise and take hold of my words. For my words shall never pass away. Those who embrace them by faith shall experience all that I have said. And truly you will know that the third day church is all about. There will be those who will be stimulated by my words, but only for a moment. They will not embrace my words because they have no faith. Therefore they shall have no power in this, the great tribulation. But my people will have power, and they will overcome all things as they endure the times. Be ready, beloved. The door of tribulation is opening, and all will go through it. What awaits on the other side for you? Yes, I do believe that we are all going to go through the great tribulation. In 2,000 years, the Church of Jesus Christ has never escaped. Never ever has the church vanished in the time of the Great Inquisition or the time of the Roman emperors and the Roman Caesars like Nero, who brought the church into the Colosseums of Rome and set their bodies aflame to light the streets of Rome. Never has there been an escape from tribulation and persecution, but rather through tribulation and persecution has the gospel been preached to the ends of the earth. And here in the 20th century, there have been more martyrs and more persecution in the last 100 years than combined 1900 years before it. And yet the West continues to cry out, and the false teachers are proclaiming doctrines of demons, telling the church that you're going to escape all these things by being pre-tribulationally raptured out of the earth. This is not good. This is not healthy. This is not the food that the great shepherd would feed his flock. No, the food of the great shepherd to the flock of Jesus Christ is to embrace the cross, die to self, work out and walk out the calling of God upon your life, to do what God has put in your heart to do, to advance the kingdom of God. This is what is imperative, loved ones. This is what is imperative. It is not imperative that we cotton candy the word of God, or that we give the cosmetics of our ourselves in our lowerness. No. It's not any of that. We're getting ready to pass through the fire. The church in America, the Laodicean church age that we live in right now, God is calling to those who would overcome. He's calling to us to overcome this lukewarm Laodicean church age. God is calling you and God is calling me to overcome the drowning of perdition, the ideas that we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and yet we do not know that we are naked and blind and miserable and wretched and poor concerning the spiritual things of God. Yes, America, the church in America is the Laodicean church. The majority, the general church in America has become Laodicean. And the doctrines of demons that are being taught to the church of Laodicea continues to keep it in the tepid waters of lukewarmness that Jesus said, I will spew you out of my mouth. The doctrines of demons of once saved, always saved, pre-tribulational rapture, Christians cannot be demon-possessed. All of these doctrines of demons, that you could walk into the kingdom without the cross upon your shoulders, that there's no need to die to self or put off the old man and put on the new man. The doctrines of demons that lead not to holiness and godliness. The doctrines of demons that are all feel-good doctrines that Paul wrote to Timothy and said in the last days, they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will side with the false prophets of peace and safety and not know again that sudden destruction will come. There is no such thing, beloved, as a pre-tribulational rapture or the imminent doctrine of a pre-tribulational rapture. And great teachers have taught it, but they have missed it on this issue. I am not an expert. I am no expert at all, but I do know how to read the Bible. And I do have a gift of the Holy Spirit like all of God's children. And when you read the Bible, there is no such doctrine of a pre-tribulational rapture. And what is unfortunate is that those who are teaching it to the masses who are feeding upon it, they are not going to be ready for what is coming down the pike. And ladies and gentlemen, if I'm wrong, well, my heart, as long as I'm serving the Lord and worshiping God and walking out and working out my salvation, if I'm wrong about this issue, I have lost nothing. I'll see you in the sky in the great pre-trib rapture, and I'll pass you by, and I'll get to the throne before you because that's where my heart is, okay? But if I'm right, and there is no pre-trib rapture, and millions of Christians in America and this gospel that's been spread across the world, it is going to be fatal to those who are going to be wondering, where was the rapture? Now I'm in the fire. Tribulation is upon me in persecution. Well, I believe the Great Tribulation is going to serve as God's end time cleaning mechanism. The spots and the wrinkles in the church of Jesus Christ and all the blemishes that were not removed by the soft gospel, the lukewarm gospel, the watered down gospel, the gospel that lost its impotency to convict men at the core of their hearts, what the church refused to do by preaching the truth of the gospel, like falling on the rock and being broken, well, the great end time tribulation is going to deal with the spots, the wrinkles, the blemishes, and my, oh my, is it going to be a time for people to get cleaned up before the Lord. I'm reminded in Revelation chapter 7 that the majority of believers, an untold multitude that no man can number, they are going into the great tribulation, but they wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, there's going to be much blood shed during the great tribulation, much martyrdom, much persecution is coming upon the church, but this is happening all over the world. We just happen to have brothers and sisters in different countries that have already endured a measure of tribulation and persecution and martyrdom. We in America want nothing to do with that. We want nothing to do with that. And yet the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, he cries out, oh, that I may know the sufferings of Christ, that I may know what it means to be martyred for him, to be persecuted for him. And the early disciples, when they were thrown into prison and beaten, and they came out and they rejoiced that they were found worthy to be associated with the sufferings of Christ, that they were worthy of the persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. Their faith in Christ was tested to the very metal as to its genuineness. You know, you can't tell true gold from false gold unless you test the metal of the thing. And the fire is there to test the metal. And your faith and my faith must be proven genuine. And if we're feeding on doctrines of demons that lull us to sleep, like we're never going to see a day of trouble, once you're saved, you can never lose your salvation. When we believe those things, when we feed on those doctrines, we lose the strength of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no reason to do that. Listen, the very thing that God wants you and I to die to are the things that we hate about ourselves anyways. Pride and jealousy and lust and ego and selfishness and self-centeredness. I mean, those things are disgusting when you compare it to what true Christianity is. So God is just asking us to die to all of the things of the world, the flesh, the devil. But that's a good thing when you understand it properly. And then to have the caution, the sobriety, the watchfulness, the readiness to guard your heart, to know that the devil would love to bring you back to where you came from, but you escaped. The Bible's replete with this information. So what are we saying here today on the seventh day? Come on, let's get cleaned up. Let's get it right. Let's become a vibrant church. Let's become a vibrant people with the vim and vigor of the Holy Ghost. Let the power of the Spirit of God operate within us to remove the snares within our own souls, to be delivered from the unrighteousness within us, to allow the blood and the water of the word to wash us thoroughly in our inward parts. This is the gospel. There's nothing legalistic about it. There's nothing morbid about it. It is the weighty kabod of God. It is the doxa of his glory that he wants to shine out of us, you know, of you and I. And you can't have an outray, and you cannot put on display the glory of the righteousness of Christ when all the flesh is in the way. This is one of the reasons why we're called to fast, and this is one of the reasons why we're called to pray. Because when you fast and pray, you are laboring against your own flesh and carnal mind that is hostile against God and unwilling to obey God. But if we continue to just feed the flesh and then feed it a gospel that is tending to it, the flesh would love a gospel without the cross, without the need to fall on the rock and be broken, without the need to die to self. Oh, the flesh would love the idea of you're going to heaven. You don't need to suffer. You're never going to say a day of trouble. Do you see it, brethren? Can you see it right now that true Christianity is an offense to the flesh? It is a death blow to the flesh. But the flesh loves itself so much, and preachers come along and say, you're not going to suffer during a tribulation. The flesh loves that. What are these soothing and soothsayers telling you? What are these doctrines of demons telling you? And why would you feed on those doctrines? You cannot open the Bible and prove a pre-tribulational rapture. You can't do it. You could try to. Like the teachers that tell you, well, Revelation chapter 4, the church isn't here anymore because John went up into heaven and that's a symbol of the church. That is baloney, dear friends. Revelation chapter 4 has nothing to do with a preacher of rapture. It has to do with God apprehending a prophet to prepare him to prophesy the end time message. And yet we listen to these teachers telling us that Revelation 4 is a picture of the church going into the rapture, so we're not here after Revelation chapter 4. What foolishness is that? Or you listen to some teacher telling you, no, the preacher of rapture is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It has nothing to do with a preacher of rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is about the resurrection of the dead. And if you happen to be alive and remaining after the resurrection of the dead, well, then you'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air when he comes. When is he coming? When he comes, the first thing that happens is a resurrection. You ever see that in any of the movies of the pre-trib rapture? Oh, you say, no, there's a secret, imminent pre-trib rapture. Well, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Paul completely obliterates that doctrine by saying, don't you believe the imminency message? Because these things have to happen before he returns. There's going to be a falling away, and the man of sin must make his appearing on this earth. Man, that's so simple. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 has nothing to do with a preacher rapture. Jesus doesn't mention it once. And yet we live in an age where this is what the church is feeding on. The mega churches are loving it. We have our choirs, we have our lights, we have our music, and it's so soul-soothing. Soul-soothing. I mean, if King David was able to play an instrument to soothe the soul of Saul, man, what's going on today, there's a lot of soothsaying going on. But Saul did not repent. Saul did not turn his life over by the music that soothed him. He did not repent of his sin. Beloved, we are so far beyond mega church buildings with nice music and even preaching. I believe the preaching of the gospel is going to begin to wane down at some point, and the church is just going to have to go through stuff. And what you're going to have to learn is going to come by what you go through rather than what you've been hearing in your head. And so I believe that's the direction of the church. But, you know, to help me in all of this, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, is going to join me live right now on the air. And so I'm going to bring her on, and we're going to say good morning to you. Patricia, how are you this morning? Well, amen. That's your famous saying right now, one more day to get it right. Well, Patricia, we're talking about some pretty serious things this morning, and you've been listening for a little bit as you've been preparing to bring what God has put in your heart. What are your thoughts so far? That is correct. Now, Patricia, before you go any further, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I need you to dial a number. The people on Blog Talk cannot hear you, so I want them to hear you. So on your phone, stay where you're at, but why? Where is your phone? Okay, well, you stay there and talk. Okay, so, well, Patricia, continue to talk to the folks listening on Omega Radio and Facebook. I'm going to go get your phone, or I'm going to get a phone here, and I'm going to have you speak into my phone so people can hear you on Blog Talk. So, Blog Talk folks, hold on 1 second. I'm going to go get Patricia. Go ahead and continue speaking.
Father in his throne, and he that has an ear, let him hear what the be with. We have opportunity. The opportunity is now.
Patricia, very good. So what's happening for the Blog Talk friends? They cannot hear you without the reverberation of the phone. So right now, until we figure out how to get you live on Blog Talk Radio from Facebook, the only thing we can encourage, unfortunately, to the folks on Blog Talk is to maybe turn on the app on Omega Radio as well to hear you. They will hear you if they could do that. And you should be able to go to omegaradio.org on your phone while at the same time go to Blog Talk Radio and listen to the broadcast there. And if you want to call in, you could certainly do that. So I think that would work. And we'll just figure out how to get you on Blog Talk from where you are in that remote location that we're running up and down to. Yeah, you're on Omega. I'm pretty sure you're on Omega Radio, and I'm pretty sure you're being viewed on the Facebook page as well. And maybe somebody out there on Facebook land could give us a little commentary about how things are going. We do apologize, but I thought we had it all worked out. But here we are. We need to do a little bit more work. Well, I just did that. You just did call in, but there was reverb going on. So I wasn't able to get that to happen. So my deepest apologies for that, but we'll get it worked out. We'll get it worked out. So Patricia, we're days away right now from the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're making ready to gather together. We're in that season of the time of introspection and examination. And how are things going from your perspective as far as, you know, I believe every local assembly, every local congregation is a representation of the whole of the church. I mean, I think every local church should view themselves that way. If somebody looks at your church, they're kind of looking at a representation of what is going on in the global sense of God's community, the kingdom. So how do you see things right now at this point in as far as preparation of people's hearts? Are they working it out?
To come in and be
All right, very good. Well, I believe that's true as well. And with our remaining time here, I want to shift the conversation because you're right. I mean, Turkey's getting involved right now. Syria obviously has been in the news many times. Iran is in the news. The Middle East is awakening. We're watching the socialism and communism that we were talking about yesterday, the Bolshevik Revolution, just over 100 years ago, which was a socialist communistic revolution that took 66 million people's lives, most of them Christians, at that time. And that's just a truth. And the reality behind that whole revolution was just amazing. Red October. It was in October that the revolution began. And to hear the president of the United States talk about, civil war and revolution, people having dreams about the president in Revolutionary Guard uniform, issuing forth commands. Right now, Marines that are supposedly hanging out around the Washington, D.C. area. There's something, again, this is October and this is when things normally get like this. But in the midst of all of this, Patricia, awakening this morning, we have a beautiful view outside one of our windows and we have a water source out there. And I was watching the mist begin to rise off the water. And I had my Bible out and was praying and studying. And then somebody sent me a song, and I'm telling you, when the song was playing, I could just see worship going forth. And as worship was going forth, I looked out over that water source and that source, and the vapors were coming up stronger and stronger and stronger and forming a cloud. I want people to hear me right now. Your worship to the Father, your love, your praise to Him, it sends up incense. Revelation chapter 8 is perfect for this. And so is one of the Psalms, 141, we'll talk about in just a moment. David prayed that his worship, his prayers would go up like incense before the Lord. And the angel of Revelation chapter 8 took the incense of the golden censer and mixed it with the prayers of the saints. And as you and I send up our prayers, as you and I send up our worship, as it's real, genuine spiritual worship, that forms a cloud. Zechariah chapter 10 says he would bring bright clouds over the people, clouds with rain, clouds with anointing, clouds with living water, and that there would be an outpouring of his spirit in the clouds. I mean, the cloud is formed in the worship. I watched it. I was marveling because when I first woke up, there was a little smoke coming off, little vapors coming off the water source, but it wasn't anything to really think of it, look at. But as reading came, prayer came, songs, worship came, before it was done, the whole water source was vaporized, and all that vapor was going up into the clouds and was forming a big cloud over the water source. And it was marvelous to watch. And God was telling me to tell you, worship Him, praise Him. Pray to Him, study His word, engage. And as you do, your worship, your prayer is going up as an incense. And then imagine around the world. It's time for prayer. Revelation chapter 8, Patricia, tells us that the people began to pray. The prayers of the saints were going up. And the Lord was taking those prayers, putting the incense, and then He was responding by prayer. Casting fire onto the earth. Powerful, powerful moment for God's people.
It's so wonderful and so real. Once you repent and understand the glory of which God has had in mind for each and every one of us. but you see, unless there is repentance, you feel deep within your spirit soul, guilty, ashamed, and not able really to understand the depths of what you're speaking of. But once you repent from your ways that you know are wrong, because everyone has been convicted within their heart, there is a living soul, unless they get so hardened by continuous turning away from the call of God, their hearts really hurt. But if you still have opportunity left in your breath, in your life, to say, Lord, forgive me for the wickedness, forgive me for the things that I know I do that are impeded with all your heart, and repent, it will be as you have never sinned. You will sense a newness of your life and a beauty of your life that you have never known. The Spirit of God will so fly upon you and within you to cleanse that unholy part of your soul that has never been redeemed. Just a great magnificent form of care in light and beauty that the prayers and the application of grace to be unbelievable. And heaven is open up to you. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. An old prayer, 2,000 years ago, by the Lord Jesus Christ, gave to his disciples and apostles. But today it's still there. Confess the things that you know you have been doing that aren't right. You know every man does. And then let the promise of the Holy Spirit, through confession and through repentance, cleanse that part of your being, your soul, that has been deteriorated literally by sin and application of evil spirits who have been locked, allowed in under those circumstances, not only by yourself, but also by generational bloodline curses. It's real. It is real, and we're learning more and more about it. So there is time for you yet to appreciate and know what Pastor Vincent has been talking about in that mist that is going up into the heavenly realm, and that will be a wonderful analogy of your prayers.
Well, amen to that, Patricia. There's nothing more beautiful, quite frankly, than confession. It relieves the burden of conscience. And one of the things that I love about the Apostle Paul and his teachings consistently throughout the book of Acts, Romans, all the way through, is he always was talking about his conscience being clear before God. You know, under the Old Testament, even though he had once boasted that he kept the law rigidly, his conscience was never really cleansed because the law could bring nothing to perfection, particularly concerning the conscience. What about a clear conscience for you? How much dead weight are you carrying because your conscience has not yet been relieved from the burden of your sin or your memory or your thoughts? How about a season right now stepping into something that's already been performed on your behalf and my behalf? Stepping into a moment where we take God at his word and we realize that our sins are forgiven. And the things that we have confessed and acknowledged as being sinful, we've turned away from them. We have repented. We have gone in another direction. And knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt by faith that God's word is true, your conscience becomes clear. Jesus also mentioned, Patricia, didn't he? He said, the eye is the light of the body, and if there be any darkness, okay? So we're supposed to have, he said, if your conscience or if your eye is full of light, then your whole body will be full of light. I've always interpreted that as if your eye, he doesn't say eyes in plurality, he says if your eye be full of light, or your conscience, the eye of your conscience, if it is full of light, your whole body will be full of light with no darkness in it, which means a very healthy body, a body that is producing the glory, light, the doxa. But if your eye be darkness, your whole body will be full of darkness. And how deep is that darkness? I mean, this is a very powerful scripture when it comes to this moment where God is offering to us through the blood of his son and the washing of the water of the word, an ability to really have a clean conscience so that our bodies could be full of light and gather together in that kind of a spirit.
The love of God to cleanse us of all uncleanness, all unrighteousness, all things that we know we have done wrong. We begin to really know what love is all about. We begin to be able, with a clear conscience, which is the most beautiful experience. Most of us never have it. We learn love, true love. And that is the essence of life itself and the beauty of the kingdom of God, which will be established on earth in a very short time by his coming. But his coming is very soon, folks. And you want to be in that beautiful light and truth and love when you appear, because he's going to take you on. And guess what else he's going to do? He's going to sit us with him to rule and reign over this whole world. And we're never going to see the filth and uncleanness, the insanity, the hell that it's been from the very foundations of its beginnings. And we're going to see the most beautiful, most wonderful utopia, which everybody is trying to do in the flesh. We're going to see in the spirit. And it's going to be a reality. And that spiritual reality is going to become an absolute truth on the face of this earth.
Amen. And in order to get into the celestial city, we have to go through, you know, this world as pilgrims and strangers. I was reading that this morning in 1 Peter that, you know, we're just passing through this earth and that we should not put any stock in this earth. We shouldn't be amassing the things of the world. We should be filling our treasure chest with spiritual things in all sincerity, the spiritual treasure of agape love, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. And yet we also have a knowledge of what's going on in the world in which we live. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know that we're living in a hostile territory and we're passing through, and there are mighty forces that would bring us down, that would take us out, that would draw us away from the path that we have been called to. And we know that it is a narrow pathway, that not every path leads to God. Not every, you know, it just is not a reality. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And it sounded very narrow-minded that just one person would say that. But that narrow-minded reality is the truth. And so the narrow pathway of Christ, Jesus alone, is what leads to life. Now, unfortunately, there are many who preach Jesus, but Paul warns in Corinthians, if any man preaches unto you another Jesus or another spirit, or if you receive another spirit or another gospel. So there is a counterfeit gospel. There is a counterfeit spirit. There is a counterfeit Jesus. And what you and I need to know is, how do we know the difference? And what we've been learning at New Wine Ministries is the way that you tell true doctrine is by the godliness and the holiness that it promotes in one's life. I mean, if you're still participating in the sins of the flesh, or, you know, some areas in your life that you're just, you know, doing what is contrary to the gospel, but you're saying you're saved, that's another Jesus. That's another gospel. That's another spirit. The gospel that we have been given is a gospel of power, a gospel of ability to bring us from the uttermost destruction into the most outrageous light, into one dimension, into another dimension, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a massive transformation that goes on within us. Patricia, you've written about this in your book, and there are so many people that are still, you know, caught up in the sins of the flesh, you know, soulical issues with, you know, this, that, and the other thing. What is it going to be required to really bring that deliverance?
How he operates, and to know the word of God by and through the Holy Spirit, or else there won't be that knowledge. Multitudes of Christians will be deceived.
Yeah, and it's a terrific book. There's no doubt about it. When you and I prepare for the Feast of Tabernacles to meet the Lord, I mean, this coming Sunday at 6:30, we're going to gather together for the first evening to usher in, to welcome this great feast. And we were gathered together last night at New Wine Ministries, and because of the rain, some people just weren't able to make it. But the people that gathered together, we had an explosion last night. We experienced the weight of God's presence last night. It was massive. So we're not talking about numbers here. We're talking about the quality of people. And I thought about the people last night, and some just couldn't make it. That's just all there is to it. This is not putting anybody down. But the people that ventured out into the storm to gather together, I think God looked at that and he said, I'm going to bless them. And he did. He blessed us last night with his presence, with his word, with his spirit. I mean, it was so obvious. And the Feast of Tabernacles is always about bringing an offering to the Lord. But the question is, in the very first place, in the primary place, when you and I step into that environment Sunday night, for those that will be there, we must first present our lives as an offering. And what we're doing right now, today, this week, allowing examination, talking about the need for cleansing and washing, for introspection, examination, repentance, confession, what we're doing right now is preparing what kind of an offering we're going to bring. What kind of an offering are we going to bring to the Lord? What has our life been like during the last year, starting with Passover? Did we experience the Passover lamb? Did we, 50 days later, experience the Spirit of God? Have we grown and increased in the cleansing, the washing, and then the infilling of the Holy Spirit? And what has the work of the cross and the work of the Spirit done in us to prepare us for this encounter with God? You, when you gather together, wherever you are during this Feast of Tabernacles, your life is the offering in the very first place. It's the truth. We could come with all the gifts and the tithes and the offerings, and we could host it, and we could get the tents, and we could get it all together and the speakers. But if our hearts are not right before God, it is somewhat of a vain oblation. And it's not that God's calling us to a perfection. He brings us to the point where we have arrived. If we have diligently gone after him and worked it out on purpose, you know, it doesn't mean presto, you're perfect today, but there's been room for increase. And I'm telling you, wherever you and I make increase or room available for God, if there's ever a time when he opens the windows of heaven, it's during the Feast of Tabernacles, it's the hundredfold. Those areas of increase that we provided for the Lord to sow into, he is going to sow eternal things into us. Patricia, I think this is magnificent. It's so important for God's people to recognize that this time of the 10 days of awe, introspection, are all about preparing our ground to receive from something from God so that he can be pleased with what he's after in us anyways. Your thoughts?
He is restoring us from the old scenario of sin, death, wars, destruction of every kind. He told us to establish us up to love, which it really was. That's why people drink drugs, do the things they do because they're looking for something to satisfy their very soul. And there's only one satisfaction, and that is the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ himself, the Holy Spirit. And that glory is being established in us now, if we will just partake of it and hold on to it and walk circumspectly, not letting Satan grab hold of our thoughts and our ways again. You know, we go to the same thing over and over and over again. We know that we're still captured. We know that we are still in iniquity. And that iniquity must be removed totally and completely from us for us to be truly free.
Amen.
It's Christ that's free. It's free indeed. There's nothing more wonderful than freedom.
I love it. And, you know, maybe there's some people out there right now that know a little bit about freedom because they've been through some deliverance and they have experienced a change in their life since they believed in the gospel of Jesus. And maybe you right now could just give the Lord a shout of praise for what he's already done in your life and know that he who began a good work in you is going to complete it. And when is he doing this? When does God do his best work? Really, it's a hidden work, and it's usually in the midst of chaos and confusion because there's opportunity in the midst of a crisis. And God takes opportunity in your crisis, in my crisis, to bring something forth out of us and in us. And he is seeking an image within you. He's seeking an image within me. And through the crises that we go through in our lives, you know, God uses those for his opportunity to produce and to accomplish something in our lives. I mean, it's been an amazing journey. Today, Patricia, we're just simply running out of time. I'm going to give you the last moment. But to our friends on Blog Talk Radio, I hope by tomorrow we're going to have an answer to what we were not able to listen or hear Patricia. And it kind of threw us through a little bit of a loop, and we're walking through it anyways. But we're going to do our best to get that worked out tomorrow. We are going to continue to broadcast on the Omega Radio and on Facebook. And I know a lot of people don't like Facebook. Maybe we're going to give it a try on YouTube. We're going to get it worked out. Bottom line is, in 7 days, Northwest Arkansas, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's going to be a week of morning, afternoon, and evening celebrations. And it's going to be an awesome time. And you are cordially invited. I hope you'll make it your primary event for the end of this year. And who knows where things go from here. Patricia, your final thoughts today.
I know that once we have come to the place where we're gathered and we understand the truth of what God has granted us and we hear the vibrant ministry from all multitudes, then we shall overcome. It is the most incredible experience you'll ever have.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Patricia, you get to that phone call. We're going to say goodbye for now. And for those of you listening on omegaradio.org, that's omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion taking place right now with Patricia and her friends around the roundtable talking about deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I hope you'll get there. God bless everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. And we're going to get it right because today is the day the Lord has made, and tomorrow's another day to get it right. Right, Patricia? One more day to get it right. Shalom, everybody. God bless you. Have a beautiful Monday till we meet again. Bye-bye.